Radio Prague News.
Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has defended the head of state's decision to visit Moscow. A row has erupted between the company owned by ANO leader Andrej Babiš and Czech television. And actress Kim Novak is in the spotlight in Prague. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has defended the President's decision to travel to Moscow on May the 9th to mark the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II in Europe and honour those who died during the fight against the Nazi threat. On Tuesday, Mr. Sobotka said he would not try and intervene. He was reacting to an appeal by the former Speaker of the Lower House, opposition MP Miroslava Nemtsova of the Civic Democrats. She criticised the visit and stressed Miloš Zeman is the only EU head of state so far who is pledged to attend the anniversary in Moscow, in spite of Russia's intervention in Ukraine and the annexation of Crimea. The Czech Prime Minister indicated that the visit by Mr. Zeman would not change the Czech Republic's stance on Ukraine and sanctions against Russia and towards Vladimir Putin's regime. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka and President Miloš Zeman are due to meet on Wednesday at Prague Castle. The meeting was requested by the Prime Minister, and one of the themes of the meeting is the attempt to better coordinate the foreign policy stances of the head of state and government, the President's spokesman said. Mr. Sobotka, the head of the leading government party, the Social Democrats, and the President are also expected to compare notes on the recently completed party congress in Prague. President Zeman denounced the introduction of a 40% quota of women candidates in elections as insulting to women. He also criticised the meeting for failing to confront the reason for the Social Democrats' disappointing results at the general elections in October 2013. Czech agrochemical giant Agrofert, owned by billionaire businessman and leader of the ANO party Andrej Babiš, has complained about four separate reports by public service broadcaster Czech television. It says the report suggested that the company was given favourable treatment it would not have won were it not for Babiš's public position. He's also Minister of Finance and Deputy Prime Minister. The company has called for the reports on the investigative programme Reporters to be corrected and action to be taken against those responsible. Czech television said the complaints will be dealt with in the usual way by the Broadcasters' Council. The broadcaster has recently been the focus of attacks by President Miloš Zeman and his close allies after a live broadcast of the head of state spokesman was dropped. President Zeman has suggested that those damaged by TV reports need not pay their licence fees. The Czech subsidiary of the Swedish construction and development firm Skanska is suspected of being involved in a corruption scandal, Czech radio reported on Tuesday. The radio quoted two high-ranking Skanska officials who said that the company sent 100 million crowns to a company that was involved in completing the R7 motorway, adding that the money was subsequently used for bribery. The head of the Czech Skanska company at the time was the current Transport Minister Dan Ťok, nominated by the ANO party. Skanska has previously taken a public stance against corruption. Construction firm Metrostav has offered Prague City Hall to take full responsibility for completing works on the controversial Blanka Tunnel complex. The opening of the tunnel was recently postponed indefinitely by Prague authorities after it emerged that hundreds of kilometres of electric cables had been damaged by water and needed to be replaced. In a letter addressed to Prague Mayor Adriana Krnatsova, the head of Metrostav said the firm was ready to take over the technological part of the construction from Čekeda Praha Diz, the firm that supplied the damaged cables. Originally meant to open in 2011, the 37 billion crown project was last scheduled to open in April. And finally, American actress of Czech descent Kim Novak, known for starring in Alfred Hitchcock's thriller Vertigo and many other films, arrived in Prague on Monday. The 81-year-old actress will attend the Februarfest International Film Festival, which gets underway on Thursday. She will be handed the Christian Award for her lifelong contribution to cinema at the festival's launch. The actress will also have an exhibition of her paintings on display at the Strahov Monastery in Prague. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news. Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, US troops have been cleared to travel through the country on their way back from a NATO exercise. We look at a Prague landmark that hit the dust 30 years ago, and in this week's In Focus, we look at an attempt to bring poetry to Prague's general public. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech government on Monday confirmed it had agreed to allow US military personnel and vehicles returning from a NATO operation in the Baltic states to travel across the Czech Republic to a military base in Germany. The operation, titled Atlantic Resolve, was a show of force and NATO solidarity for countries bordering Russia, which are nervous over that country's intervention in Ukraine. Jan Wellinger has the story.
As early as March 29th, a U.S. military convoy counting almost 120 armored vehicles and more than 500 personnel will travel across the Czech Republic on its way to a military base in Bavaria, a return journey from a recent mission in the Baltic states. Operation Atlantic Resolve is meant to have reassured the Baltics, as well as Poland, members of NATO since 2004 and 1999 respectively, of America's commitment to stability in Europe, as well as to underline the alliance's readiness to act in the event of an attack or crisis. It was in solidarity with its fellow NATO and EU members on Monday that the Czech government readily green-lighted the return journey of the U.S. convoy across Czech territory, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka.
Our agreement honors our commitments with NATO partners and is also a gesture of unity.
The convoy's journey across the Czech Republic will not follow one route but three, entering at Harachov in North Bohemia, Náchod in Northeast Bohemia, and Bohumín in Northeast Moravia. The forces will regroup at Prague's Ruzinje before following a single route towards Plzeň and Drozvadov, where they will cross the border into Germany. The Czech military police, and customs officers will provide assistance, Defense Minister Martin Stropnický said.
It's worth adding that our force will help, providing, for example, fuel for vehicles en route. The expenses are being fully covered by the U.S.
Not all are happy with the government's decision, although it was welcomed by the opposition center-right parties. For example, the communists came out against. Alexander Cherny, a member of the Defense Committee, argued that a decision such as allowing a foreign military convoy passage should at the very least have been debated in the Chamber of Deputies.
These kinds of things have to be planned. Our constitution does not refer to questions like the passage of a convoy or victory lap. And so far, no one, as far as I know, has raised the issue either in the Senate or the Chamber of Deputies.
It is necessary to point out that the Czech Communist Party has never been in favor of Czech NATO membership, so such a response from one of its members was less than surprising. The convoy should complete the journey through the Czech Republic by April the 1st.
Jan Wellinger with the report on that US convoy. This week marks the 30th anniversary of the demolition of Prague's Teshnov train station, a once magnificent 1870s structure that stood just a stone's throw from the city's Florence district. The raising of the station has become a symbol of the cultural barbarism of the Czechoslovakia's communist regime. Ian Willoughby reports.
On the 16th of March 1985, Prague's Teshnov train station collapsed in minutes after a controlled explosion. Period footage shows that it threw up a gigantic cloud of dust. For the first four decades of the neo-Renaissance structure's existence, it bore the rather functional name Northwestern Station. Following independence, it was renamed Denisovo or Denis Station after Ernest Denis, a French politician who had supported the foundation of Czechoslovakia. Photographs from the time show that the station, which mainly served passenger trains, really was a magnificent building. Petr Kučera is an architect with a strong interest in disappeared Prague.
I think it was one of the most beautiful train stations in Europe. It was designed by Vienna architect Karl Schlimm in 1875, and it was inspired by Roman Victory Arch, and it was unique. So it was a small train station, but very nice.
Přece jen přišel okamžik odjezdu vlaku číslo 814.
A TV report from July 1972 on the last train to depart from Těšnov to Lysá nad Labem in central Bohemia. The northern wing of the station was knocked down 2 years later to make way for the Magistrála, the motorway the communist authorities decided should cut right through the capital. What remained of the building was given protected status, while simultaneously being unused and allowed to fall into disrepair. Petr Kučera says the communist authorities decided without warning and ignoring its protected status to raise the remaining part of the station to the ground. It was on the route of an event linked to a Spartakiad mass sports meeting being held in Prague in the summer of 1975.
There was a plan to reconstruct it for university needs, like Mensa of Charles University. So there was a plan to reconstruct it, to preserve it, to rebuild it into student house, but the political decision was one day and demolition was the second day, so it was very quick.
Before the Těšnov train station was knocked down completely, it was stripped of its statues and other valuable fittings, which were added to the collections of the National and City of Prague museums. A panel exhibition on the site's history was installed on Monday in front of the latter institution, very near the now rather bleak spot where the railway station stood for over a century.
Ian Willoughby with a report on the demise of that Prague landmark. People passing by Náměstí Míru in Prague these days may have come across a strange pipe-like structure protruding from the ground. Though it looks like it might have been left there by workers, it is in fact the world's first ever poetry jukebox, the so-called poezomat, invented by cafe owner and public space artist Andrei Kobza. In this edition of In Focus, Ruth Frankova went to have a look at it.
Oslněn zjištěním, že čínští básníci psali své verše ve stavu opilosti, úplně ožralý kořalkou z rýže. A já všim si, že čínští básníci, že to jsou sami starci.
The voice of Czech poet Zbigněk Hejda is coming out of a crooked pipe located on the leafy Prague square Náměstí Míru. Hejda is one of 20 poets along the likes of Jaroslav Seifert, Vladimír Holan or Egon Bondy, whose poems can be heard on the Poeziomat. If you want to listen to a poem, the only thing you have to do is press the button and listen. You don't have to insert any coins, the poems are for free. Though Hejda or Jaroslav Seifert passed away years ago, you can still hear their voices thanks to audio recordings provided for the Poeziomat by Czech Radio. The man behind the project is Ondřej Kobza, the owner of the popular Café v Lese and other venues in Prague, who is also known for his attempts to liven up the public space. A few years ago, he made headlines in Czech and international media for bringing pianos to the streets of Prague and other towns across the country. Last year, he installed chess tables in Náměstí Míru and other sites across the city. Ondřej Kobza's latest contribution to the public space, the Poeziomat, was recently unveiled in the presence of the culture minister and representatives of Czech Radio. When I spoke to Ondřej Kobza, I asked him how he got the idea in the first place and whether he had found inspiration elsewhere.
1.5 years ago, I started to spread the pianos and chess tables in the public space, and I asked myself what another can spread in the public space, and because I love reading poetry in countryside, I had some idea that it would be nice for everybody to hear poetry reading in a square and in the street. So I think it is original idea, but I would like to spread this idea to all the world. Yeah? So if somebody will want to do it a similar way, there's no problem.
So you are willing to share your idea with the world for free?
Of course, of course. Right now we have some plans to put it in Kiev, in Ukraine, in Madrid, in Berlin, and Moscow, and I would like to do it in New York as well.
Who is behind the design of Poeziomat?
Of course, I made an idea, but the design was made by designer Rytka Tomsová and Vít Ježek.
How long did it take from the initial idea to the actual implementation?
1 year and 3 months. You know, it's very new for our politicians. When a normal person as me, for example, ask a politician, hey, we would like to do it for free, this project, is it okay? So they are very surprised because they are not used to these things.
So how did you actually choose the location, Náměstí Míru, in Prague 2?
Because we wanted a place where people are walking, very frequent place, but not so loud. So I think it's a great combination of big traffic, but not cars, but only walking people. Of course, we have 20 Czech authors, half dead and half young living, and there is one poem from one poet.
Who recited the poems?
Only authors themselves. That's the, I think, nice idea that you can meet with energy of the poets, yeah, because their voice is reading. Český rozhlas gave us the records.
Are you planning to expand the range in the future?
You know, it's only for 2 weeks we started this project, so right now we test it and ask people what they would prefer, and of course we can do many types.
How much did it actually cost?
The first one cost more than 200,000 Czech crowns.
Who financed the whole project?
In the beginning I paid from my pocket, but we have some promises from one donator, Václav Dejčmar, owner of Docs Gallery. We have many promises, but right now we are waiting for money.
What's the idea behind Poeziomat? What does it bring the people?
Yeah, you know, the idea for me is that normal people, as me or everybody other, can create public space, that everybody can do something similar. Yeah? So we do piano, we do chess tables, we do Poeziomat, jukebox with poetry, but it's only examples what, for example, normal people can create their towns. So I have some non-profit organization which supports similar projects, so we do some manuals or consulting. So my biggest aim is more people involved in creating of their cities.
As you already said, you have already installed pianos in the streets of Prague and chess tables for people to sit down and play chess. And especially the pianos became a great hit. There were videos on YouTube of people playing.
Yeah.
How do people react to Poeziomat? Have you already got some feedback?
Of course. I don't suppose that it will be so big viral in YouTube, yeah, because it is not so interesting for YouTube videos. But from my testing, when I go through the Náměstí Míru, from 70% people are listening. So I think it's quite frequent time there. But what is maybe important that it is our idea, because piano was in the world, yeah. So maybe if this Poeziomat will spread through the whole world, I suppose that it will. It would be nice that it began in Prague. And I think till 3 years, about 100 or 200 jukebox with poetry will be in the world.
Is that just your vision, or do you have any specific plans already scheduled for the future?
You know, everything what I do is very spontaneous. So when I started to do pianos, I post some Facebook news that if anybody wants to do similar things, I can help him. And in 1 month, it was in 30 towns. In 30 towns, there was pianos. So I think it will be similar. Yeah? Right now, I have some friends in the whole world, and I wrote them, hey, we have this project, do you want to do it? And everybody who I wrote, everybody said, yes, we want to do it. Yeah? So I can't believe it. How it's possible. For example, today in the morning, I wrote with some people in Wroclaw from Moscow, a very alternative community of people wrote me that they would like to do it, because not everybody in Moscow is Putin people. Yeah? In Moscow, there are many nice alternative groups there, so don't worry.
From what I read in the papers, you are already scheduled to unveil Poeziomat in Kiev, is that right?
Yeah, it will be installed in big exhibition of books. It's a very big action in Ukraine. And then we will look for some place in public space.
Okay, thank you very much and good luck with your project, and I hope that we will see Poezio Mats all over the world in the future.
I hope it will help to another people to start thinking what they can do in public space.
Andrei Kobza there, ending that report by Ruth Frankova on the poetry pipeline, we could say. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be very glad to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnston, thanks very much and goodbye.